Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I know they have some great deals right now, too, especially on these pre-owned vehicles. So
I don't want a pre-owned Hellcat. Like, that's like dating somebody who – never mind. But anyway. It's I don't want that. Yeah, never mind.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, Mike, I was just looking up who invented the first golf cart. I was sending them a thank you letter for all the times that I did not walk a golf course after being out at East Lake today and putting my body through that. So a guy named Lyman Beecher of Clearwater, Florida, this is, I guess, Google, electrical engineer, put together a non-motorized cart that required two men to pull it. This is the first one. Let me see here. Who created the first golf cart? Oh, Merle Williams, California, early inventor of the electric golf cart. Started with knowledge gained from his production of electric cars due to World War II, rationing of gasoline, 1951. I'm going to send him a nice note right now.
All right, because President Kennedy had like a nice little Cushman thing, they had like little bar you could steer it with, Hyannis, when the helicopter would land, get on that thing. But no, I mean, we walk again. There's guys out there that like work for a living. How about this?
Dude, I walk like 7 miles.
Yeah,
a day.
But like no, we walked 3.7 miles today.
7 miles.
I did the math. I did the math. But no, we
with the hills.
But there's guys out there right now that are working in this heat. Construction guys. There's dudes on the side of the road. There's dudes working with asphalt, baby. There's working men. This dude's painting houses right now in this heat, and you're belly aching about walking a golf course.
Their choice. Here's the thing. I talked to our caddy today, and he said, listen to me, I sound like a teabag. I talked to our caddy today. But he said if they did two rounds, yes. Okay, if they did one group in the morning and they came back out and did another group, which is rare. Mm-hmm. He said he walked 18 miles, Mike. It's a total of 18 miles in a day.
Yeah, because he's got to shag all the wayward tee shots and stuff. He's putting extra miles. You and I did the math. 6,500 yards is about just shy of 4 miles, okay? That's what we walked today.
18 miles for two miles of golf.
Well, again, he's doing a little more work, okay? Because he's got to go find your tee shot. Anyway, maybe Bruce Feldman knows more about this. Bruce, how many miles do you walk when you play a golf course, Bruce? You have any idea on this one? Pop quiz.
3 miles.
See, there you go, Carl. Even Bruce said you're exaggerating this stuff.
Not this golf course, Bruce Feldman. All right, let's talk about what's going on before we dive into some college conversation because it is a hot topic. You wrote a piece, and we've been talking about this today. We're talking about it in our NFL Blitz segment about technology and how it's playing into Josh Allen, the Bengals quarterback, Joe Burrow, who I really like, showed a lot, even though he was hurt. Tell us what you learned about this and how this is changing these young group of quarterbacks, maybe their careers and their futures.
Yeah, I went down to basically in Orange County in Southern California. There is Jordan Palmer is a private quarterback coach, and he's had a bunch of guys who've been high draft picks, most recently Trevor Lawrence. But Joe Burrow, for one, obviously coming off a big knee injury, and they work together, and what they've really done – and what Palmer has, he's got a biomechanics guy, but he also has some really cutting-edge software. It's basically some of the same technology that's been used for green screen and kind of that Hollywood uses, but they've been able to implement into their training. And so what it's really been able to do is revamp his mechanics to the point where this, that a guy who never had more than exit velocity of 48.5 miles per hour on his throws is now throwing at 54, which is a dramatic difference. And just because of some of the adjustments he's made, also has, you know, the strengthening of his body in the rehab process, especially in his lower body, some of the same things that Josh Allen has really done to take in his game. And I think the upshot of this, one of the things I had heard a lot over the years from especially college coaches, was that quarterbacks can't get that much more accurate. They can improve a little bit, but not a lot. Well, Josh Allen, if you look at it, from the time he was drafted with the Bills to where he's at now, has made dramatic improvement in his accuracy. And as I noted in the story, Jordan Palmer thinks the guy who came in the low 50s in accuracy will be up in the low to mid 70s this year. And that could be the difference between the Bills being a good team and winning a Super Bowl.
It is Bruce Feldman, guys, with us here. You can follow him at Bruce Feldman CFB on Twitter. Now, it's a fascinating article because, remember, Carl, the guys used to have to wear like the ping pong balls on those green screens.
Yeah.
Now they do it all in real time on the computer. Bruce goes into detail in the article because we used to argue about Josh, you know, is Josh Allen worth taking because he didn't really have the completion percentage of Wyoming. He's got a cannon and he's just gotten better and better. And now he's a bona fide MVP candidate. And you say he's getting even better with his work.
Yeah, and I was with you guys. In terms of what you would see from his numbers coming out of Wyoming, it wasn't like he excelled when he played really good teams. And Jordan Palmer, who's trained him since he got ready for the draft, he made the case, you know, this is a totally different quarterback than the guy who was at Wyoming. He didn't dominate at Wyoming. And I'll be honest, I didn't expect him to be this good because we've seen quarterbacks come in with a big arm, but they're just not accurate enough. And this guy has really been able to develop to the point where, I mean, he finished second in the MVP voting last year. He got the Bills into the playoff. And if he can make just a little more improvement, which Palmer thinks he's made, then we're talking about a team who's like has a real chance to win a Super Bowl. I mean, what was fascinating was, so Allen was there training. And as we're talking about this, you know, again, Palmer's a wait till you see what Joe Burrow looks like now in terms of how he throws it. And so you're starting to see more guys, because you said, like, that technology, and people have probably already seen, you know, where it's like you have the little, you know, you're either in the suit or the little reflective dots that are on you. And his tech guy said, no, now in the last few years with this technology, you basically are throwing in your normal kind of environment in terms of you're not wearing some special suit or anything like that. So they're able to get a real truer read on what athletes are doing as their way, how they can tweak it a little bit. And so I think people will see it in the story on The Athletic. I even have some of what it actually looks like on the dashboard, and you can see it. It's like, whoa, this is way different than what it used to look like, or what, you know, you'd see in the old, like maybe in the old science fiction movies. Like, it's come a long way in a short amount of time now.
And it's immediately, you're seeing dividends. I mean, it's helping guys, you know, grow their game, and that's what's crazy. It's Bruce Feldman, guys. Follow him on Twitter as well, at Bruce Feldman CFB. He is a reporter for Fox Sports, The Athletic as well, has best New York Times bestsellers out there. Let's talk about this Texas-Oklahoma thing. And I think right now, Bruce, everybody's wondering the timeline. We know that they've informed the Big 12, hey, we're not renewing our media rights. It's like the first step. But how soon are we talking about? Because if this is a divorce, they need to move now, right? I mean, why wait to 2025 if you don't have to, if you're willing to cut the check?
I think the issue with that is I think they probably have to wait a little while because I would be surprised if it's not going to take at least 2 years because of from scheduling issues that are going to come up. There's obviously a lot of legal pitfalls that they're going to be sorting out right now, and I think they're trying to get a hold of. I think there's just a lot of stuff that they have to kind of get buttoned up and figure out in terms of a transition and an exit strategy, because it's just a really messy situation right now. I mean, we're on the eve of the 2021 season as it is. I don't think you can get all that other stuff buttoned up and get it settled in terms of what you'd need a legal settlement, because we're talking about a lot of money that it's going to be a game changer, certainly for those two schools, but especially for the leftovers in the Big 12. So I'd be surprised if there was anything hammered out at the earliest before probably 2023.
Bruce Feldman's with us here, guys, a college and pro football writer. You believe ESPN has something to do with this, helping to drive the bus on this, on the Super Conference?
I do. You know, from what I was told by some Big 12 ADs over the weekend, that they feel like this had been in the works with Greg Sankey doing some projections and some models, and was told ESPN's right in the middle of it. And it's not surprising, just because, you know, they're going to be the ones who are running SEC Network. So obviously I think they have to be comfortable with what their new partners and what the landscape is going to be like. So I think that's a pretty obvious statement. It's just, I think the things we don't know now are, how far has this been in the works exactly? Because think about it in this context. Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, was part of a smaller working group along with Greg Sankey where they were discussing the expansion of the CFP. And that had been going on for a while. So Bob Bowlesby's thinking one reality, and Greg Sankey is knowing that there's another one that he's basically not telling the guy across the table from him. I mean, that is a really interesting dynamic. And I think when you have the TV partners involved on that, as it relates to the SEC and the footprint growing, I mean, that's a pretty crazy situation that kind of unfolded, and we just don't know how long it had really been in, you know, in the process of happening.
Bruce, last week we heard a lot of college coaches, SEC Media Days, ACC Media Days, Big Ten, et cetera, talk about NIL, name, image, and likeness. Is this thing going to be a cluster? I mean, you hear the deals that are on the table, and I'm going, has all of this been worked out? The coaches seem like they don't know a whole lot about how this thing's going to go.
No, I think that there's going to be some of this, I think, that is going to get normalized relatively soon, because everyone's going to be going, okay, how does this work for the players on my team? And there's so many different athletes that are involved. It's, you know, we think in terms a lot of times of the biggest revenue sports of college football and college basketball, but there's going to be a lot of other athletes, and certainly a lot of athletes in women's sports who have a chance to cash in. But I think as we're hearing about some of these deals where, look, on one aspect of it, you have some marketing deals that are being done in partnership with big level NFL agents who are signing on and entering agreements with players who may be a couple of years away from being draft eligible. But those things are now in the works, and they're happening. So I think there's a lot of stuff for people to kind of wrap their minds around. I mean, are these deals also going on to a smaller level with high school athletes as well? And so it's just such a different landscape. But I think before too long, I think people are going to kind of be numb to it. I think there's going to, and it's not to say it's going to not exist. I just think we're just going to get used to that part of the new normal aspect of it.
Right. And obviously, you know, the big time, you know, football factories. To me, Bruce, maybe you agree or you disagree, the rich get richer. Nothing changes. It's not like you're going to see like some wild card like SMU back in the days of the Pony Express all of a sudden, you know, they're in the mix. I mean, the top 25 is still going to be the top 25.
Yeah, I imagine there's going to be some deals that may catch somebody's eye of some program that was like, whoa, they're doing that. But I think some of the stuff we're not even going to know about, right? I mean, there's going to be an aspect. In one sense, it's not going to be under the table. But on the other sense, I'm not sure some of these other deals, if they're going to be put out on social media as much. Yeah, there's a name, image, and likeness aspect of it. But there's going to be some things that I don't know how much scrutiny people want to have if they're going to be able to do these deals. And maybe they don't want to be, you know, put out there in, you know, for a variety of reasons. I mean, it's kind of counterintuitive, but I mean, just knowing some of the stuff that I've heard already been discussed, it wouldn't surprise me if there's some things that you just never, you know, we're not going to know necessarily what athletes are getting paid on specific things, you know, just like we don't know a lot of details on financials or kept kind of under wraps.
Bruce, it's always good to talk with you, man. And, you know, I'm excited. College season is here. I know you are. Go check out this article, guys. It is really insightful, really interesting. And I think you alluded to this. It's kind of the wave of the future, right? We're going to see more and more quarterbacks attempt to do these kinds of things and get better through this process. Really cool article, Bruce. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, man. Good stuff from Bruce Feldman.
Yeah, man.
College football.
Brought to you by our buddies, Carl, at Brightbox. BrightboxElectrical.com. They bring in the dog report and college football talk at large. And it's BrightboxElectrical.com for everything you need for your man cave or your home wiring projects. Get them on the phone, man. They'll come out right now and waive the service fee. Brightbox Electrical.
Now, Mike, you know immediately as we talk to Bruce Feldman about this, right, a guy immediately hits me up. Is Matt Ryan doing this? I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, can you teach an old dog new tricks? Can biomechanics and the computer algorithms and all that stuff help a guy get better and faster and then put more RPMs on the ball? You know, Tom Brady, if there's a technology that'll help a guy, Brady's doing it. So I don't know. I mean, at first I know some guys go, don't pick on my quarterback. I don't know. But I do know that as guys get older, you know, father time catches up with everybody and the ball doesn't come out as fast.
If I'm playing, and this is just me speaking, again, I don't know what Matt's done this offseason to improve his game. Hopefully he's done some things. I think every year you're trying to work on something. But if this was me, Mike, and I knew, you know, at his age, like you said, some of the things that I used to be able to do, maybe I don't do them as fast. Right. Maybe my reaction time is, I'd be trying everything to gain an advantage over my opponents. So, you know, the fact that Josh Allen and Joe Burrow or younger guys in this game. And, you know, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that these older guys aren't doing anything. You just said it. Tom Brady's doing everything he can to gain an advantage to make sure he can still do the things that he's needed to do for his team. So to answer your question, seriously, I don't know. Maybe we'll ask Matt as camp gets underway, what do you do to work on your game this offseason? It's one thing to say we're getting a new coach, offensive coordinator, system, blah, blah, blah. What did you do? It's what I'm going to ask Trey when camp rolls back around. And Cam Reddish. And all these other guys, what did you do? I know what one person should be doing. That's shooting free throws.
Well, if I'm
Capella.
Trey. Right. If I'm Trey, I just want to be resting right now. By the way, I'm glad Trey is not associated with this train wreck that is U.S. Olympic men's basketball right now. You know, they lost to France and Slovenia, and Luka Doncic is coming up next.
Well, he's not going to have any mercy on these guys. He'll probably go for 50. Coming up, we've got more to dive into here on the program. It is make or break time for our Atlanta Braves. They are about an hour away from getting started with their first game of a doubleheader tonight. But we got to win all these games. I mean, like, if we really want to get going, we got to win all of these games. Mets 52-44 first in the NL East. We'll talk more about it next. At 5 o'clock, but in the NFL, there is news. And if you see this as it's playing out, I think many people will say he won. I think many people will say Jordan Love is getting screwed. And I think many people will say that the Packers organization is caving to his desires, whatever it was, Mike. Mm-hmm. But this particular information that's sliding out now, that's coming out, and I don't start rumors. I just talk about them once they're out. The rumor on the street was they offered him a deal months ago, and he turned it down. So last week we were talking about it's not about money. So now all of a sudden it is about money because, Mike, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are reworking his current deal.
Yeah, and according to Adam Schefter, in the year 2023, it looks like they're going to have some language in the contract where he can jump out. He can be voided with no tags allowed in the future. So he would play this year, according to Adam Schefter, and then they would let him go. And basically, he would be hypothetically free to pursue kind of how Tom Brady's career arc went, leaving the Patriots to go to the Bucs. So Aaron Rodgers could then shop himself to the highest bidder.
How do you see this?
I mean,
is he winning? Is this a win for him?
I think he got out. Well, he had a deal with a few years left that obviously is undervalued because we know that what do you think of him as a diva or not? He's still one of the best delivery systems in the league, and the guy's going to two NFC championships in a row. So Aaron Rodgers, you know, yeah, he's top five. So he wants more loot. He hates the general manager. He wants out. So in this compromise, he's expected to come back to Green Bay from Adam Schefter. The Packers will create more cap room, and then Devontae Adams can get his contract because Devontae Adams is ticked off that he don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be around, and then he wants to get his deal because he's undervalued.
I don't know if Devontae Adams is going to sign another deal. If I know Aaron's leaving, I'm not signing another deal.
Well, yeah, unless you really believe that J. Love is going to bring the special sauce. I don't know. Yeah. But, yeah, man, Packers saying that they've reached a mutually agreed upon terms that apparently will, again, it can, you know, he can stay, but he'll have an option if he jets that they can't sit there. And in other words, it won't be another quarterback controversy with them and a holdout, and they could hit him with a franchise tag. So the language to be Aaron's liking, apparently. He gets out, and he gets a bump this year.
You know, this is funny to me and interesting in a way. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers' deal getting reworked. This is what goes on in the NBA all the time. And we've seen this. Shorter deals, opt-outs, more money, more power, more say over what's going to happen. This is what the stars in the NBA do. We haven't seen a lot of this in the NFL. You know, that's why the Julio move of getting a new deal with 3 years left on your deal was such a big deal. And it wasn't just a big deal for the Falcons. I think a lot of Falcon fans may look at that and be like, yeah, okay, it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal and a momentum shift of landscape, how deals are done. And so now you got to be on Aaron's level, okay, to do something like this. This is not going to happen to every quarterback. But the fact is, if you do win an MVP and you are a Super Bowl winner and you put all in a particular franchise, Mike, we're going to see more of this. And we just talked about these young guys coming up, you know, with Bruce Feldman and some of these guys. Now, they haven't won anything yet, but this is where it's going. And the point is, I want more control over my future. I am not going to allow these organizations to have me tied into these long-term deals. Mm-hmm. The deals continue to change. I keep getting underpaid because the deals go up, even though I felt like I was the best or the highest paid at the time. We just haven't seen this in the NFL. So here we go again.
Well, I mean, I know that in the NBA, guys don't want multi-year deals. That's why they opt out, and they can just keep, you know, LeBron started doing this. We've seen other guys now jumping on this. But you're right. The NFL, it seems like it's always been more locked in long-term. This one almost seems like it's mutually beneficial. If Jordan Love is going to be a really good NFL quarterback, and nobody knows what he's going to be if you're a Packers brass, right, or a Packers fan, but at least you know where you're going with this. You know, and you got one more, like, shot with Aaron Rodgers, hypothetically. Now, again, you get injuries, you know, all bets are off.
Sure.
But Aaron Rodgers, and again, he was passive-aggressive. All the things we hate about Aaron Rodgers, you could argue, set out, as Chris, our engineer, said, sit out in Hawaii, cool your heels, and don't say anything. You know, and then things started to rumble last night that friends of his say he's going to do a deal, and now we find out there's something in place. So the Packers had to resolve this because, let's be honest, you couldn't have him sit out the season. You couldn't have that cap hit and get nothing for it. And Jordan Love, you don't know what this guy's going to be. You said it, though. He'd put the work in mini camp, and well, congratulations. Now Aaron Rodgers is here to run the show.
Here's what's crazy. You get the rework deal. You have more say. But let's just say, okay, because they've been close. What if they win the Super Bowl this year? And then Aaron's like, yeah, I'm coming back. We're going to get it again in 2023. Jordan Love sitting for 4 years of his rookie deal?
Isn't that what Rodgers did with Favre?
4 years?
I got to look it up because remember Brett did eventually leave. But hold on, I'll tell you right now.
I mean, and I say that to say, now to me, that's when it starts to become a wasted pick. If you're going to sit a quarterback for a year and let him learn, okay, great. Patrick Mahomes. And then no matter what the circumstance is, we're letting him take over. 4 years? That's what you're telling me, potentially, if Green Bay goes deep again in these playoffs and he says, you know what, I'm back, I'm going to finish my career as a Packer.
Rodgers sat for 3 years, 2005, 6, and 7. It was 3 years for Rodgers.
It's a long time, man. To me, now, that's a wasted first-round pick. That's a guy that you could have went in another direction, Mike, that could be helping your team
it
right now.
It didn't make sense. You know, it didn't. No. I mean, like, and again, here in Atlanta, I know guys wanted Fields, and you would have had Matt sitting around. And, you know, again, at least two more years at Fields, I should say, would have sat because Matt was making so much money. But the concessions, again, guys, apparently over the weekend, Green Bay and him meet. And the deal, by the way, this is from ESPN's article that just dropped on the website. Agreement in principle would include an approximation of the following conditions, which I guess he laid out and they agreed to. 23, that's next year, Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, would be voided with no tags in the future. The Packers would agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of this season, to your point. He can still do a new deal.
Right.
Contract could be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room. And mechanisms in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. Now, what does that mean?
Repeat that?
Mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. You're going to have counseling with you and the general manager? What does that mean?
To me, that means for my agent friends that whatever moves are made moving forward, he will be aware of.
Okay.
That's what that means. They're not going to give him full autonomy to make the moves or approve or disapprove. but you will be involved in the moves moving forward because we're redoing your deal and we want you to be more involved in the organization.
Oh, and according to Adam Schefter, the Packers' agreement to review the situation after the season, Carl, implies to him the team will trade Rodgers if he feels the way he has about the Packers' culture and decision-making. So it sounds like the brass, the general manager's got to walk around on eggshells while these guys try to get back to the NFC Championship. And, oh, by the way, he might split anyway. Strange. Strange.
So, again, Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This segment brought to you by, powered by Dell Technologies. This news literally coming down as we speak.
And I owe Chris a steak dinner because I thought Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play this year for Green Bay.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to sit out despite. I thought he was going to cut his nose off despite his face this year.
I don't think anybody knew, Mike. I was reluctant to say one way or the other because he had not verified what he wanted. So, Chris. Hit us up. Chris Belcher says Jordan Love equals the ultimate paid intern. But that's a scenario that could be real.
He's becoming Danny White behind Roger Staubach now, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying it could be real. You could be sitting 4 years of a 5-year, because you're a first round pick, 4 years, and then you have 1 year to evaluate Jordan Love to let him know if that's going to guide the future.
At the end of the day, it's the stupidest thing ever.
Dumb. That's just dumb. So, anyways, that part of it. We'll see. But this is new news, and we're giving it to you here.
So here's the deal. So let's just fast forward, Carl, the 23 draft. Aaron Rodgers is sitting there in the war room smoking a cigar. No, I want him. Because a couple of guys on Twitter are saying he's going to get input in the draft. Well, I mean, there was talk about guys he didn't like getting cut and the receiver core. Strange.
We're going to tell you what we're doing. I don't believe this is going to allow Aaron to say yay or nay. Can't do that. That's going way beyond. But we're going to tell you what we're doing. Guess what? If I'm Matt Ryan, I want that same respect. If I'm Tom Brady, I want that same respect. Just go around the league. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, I want that same respect. There's nothing wrong with that. Aaron feels like he hasn't gotten it. So now, guess what? It's in the deal. Mm-hmm. Where are we going? Oh, well, Aaron, this is what we're doing. That's all. That's what I think. That's what the mechanisms are to say we can't get back to this place where we screw it up and then you're in your bag because you feel like we screwed it up.
And by the way, we got some NBA news today, not really affecting the Hawks, but Memphis sending Valanciunas and some 2001 first and second round picks to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and 2021 picks number 10 and 40. This is apparently, according to Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, to create room to keep Lonzo Ball. Or to get Lonzo Ball, I should say.
Oh, they're going to go after Ball.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I know the
free agent point guard.
Well.
Yeah, apparently it helps create cap space for, amongst others, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Lowry, others.
Yeah, he's looking for a long-term deal, too.
Because, of course, we know that Zion is unhappy, and they've got to make sure they placate him as well.
You're right. Hey, we'll get back to the Braves conversation with the Mets. We'll go around the yard coming up at 5:40. What's coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
All right, I was reading some articles, man. J-Lo, trying to make A-Rod jealous, is using Ben Affleck as a pawn, Carl. He's a helpless pawn in the game. And now, guess what? She's messing with the poor man's sobriety. I'll explain. It's on the way. It's terrible.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, I'm so tired, Carl. I'm so tired. It's Dukes and Bell on a Monday. We had a great morning today. Thanks to everyone at Eastlake and Eastlake Golf Club, where, of course, the Coca-Cola Presenting Tour Championship will be here Labor Day weekend, and they had all the media out there. Hey, Channel 2, you want to pick it up for crying out loud? We could have gotten done a lot quicker. Jeez Louise. But anyway, we had a great time. I was just joking around with Chris. You know what I should have done? Should have brought my testosterone shot and gave myself a shot on the back nine.
Get some energy.
You mind if I just drop trowel here for a second? No, man. We played golf, and I had to go down to the eighth floor and get that, you know, that direct they call coffee down there, Carl, just to kind of spark it up to make it to seven today.
Yeah, man.
How do you guys get up at six? I can't do it. I don't know what's going on.
I came in. I had an energy drink. I told you I needed a heating pad, some Motrin. I did something, you know, where I had some kind of rub on my feet. Point is, I'm making it through. We are fine. But, yeah,
yes.
I just mad respect. Here's the deal. Give respect. And I know, again, some of you who don't golf, but to understand that you're going to go play with the best in the world, and you're going to walk for 4 days, and you're going to hit some amazing shots, and you're going to be on the top of the leaderboard, and you're going to be able to finish it. And I'm sitting there today, Mike, and I'm on 18. And I'm thinking a few years back when Tiger had the gallery following him and how electric it was.
Right.
And it was right before he comes back and he wins the Masters. And I'm thinking to myself, he's done this 15 times now? 16 times?
Right.
Like, just to put it in perspective, like that moment of, damn, these guys are good. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like when you watch the Masters. I think one thing, though, you don't see on TV. It doesn't, at least you don't perceive it until you're there in person. And people who've been to the Masters or to Eastlake know just how hilly it is and how you got to hump, you know, over, you know, some 4 miles of golf course to get it in. But anyway, thanks again to the guys.
Seven.
And it was not 7 miles. I don't know where you get the
7 miles, Mike. I know my
6,500 yards of change is just a shy of 4 miles. I looked it up three times now.
That's when you're in a cart, Mike, not when you're walking over the course.
Again, people who started strong, you know, it was funny. As the afternoon went on, I got stronger as everybody else kind of wilted.
That was a testosterone shot. That's
darn
what
right.
Was.
Take it to the extreme. ATL Live Well. Hey, man, it is Sky Talk brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings, Chicken Wings, and other things, man. And whether you're watching baseball, whatever your sports, maybe you're watching the Olympics, make it a Hoots Wings night. They got, again, our Hey Man Ale at all three locations. Fried pickles, some great stuff. HootsWings.com. All right, I saw this story in page six today from the New York Post when I got in here at 1 o'clock, and I'm laughing. It's Ben Affleck. They're on a yacht in the south of France. He looks hammered. He's got his hand on J-Lo's butt. So needless to say, I was drawn to that photo. And so Ben, he just looks wasted. And I looked and I asked Chris, I go, wasn't Ben Affleck in rehab like 2 or 3 years ago? And then I found this photo where Jennifer Garner, remember they were together,
yeah.
she had picked him up and like they went to like Carl's Jr. or In-N-Out Burger and he's like hammered in the backseat. Now I'm not, I mean like I like Ben Affleck. I'm just wondering, does J-Lo care about his sobriety, Carl? Because there's a photo of them out the last night in the south of France. He's got the glow on, and I'm telling you, there's a lime in that. So I don't think that was just simply some club soda, okay? I think he might have had himself a gin and tonic.
Yeah, probably. I do think...
I'm worried about him, Carl.
I think Jennifer was probably aware of some of the things that were going on. But, yeah, I remember that. He went to rehab, and you know, they talked about the kids and all that stuff. But I don't know where he's at now. I mean, is he?
Well, he's got his hands all over J-Lo's tuchus, kind of reenacting the Jenny from the Block video, to be quite honest.
I mean, I know where he's at, but I'm saying as far as the sobriety, Mike, the sobriety.
Well, I don't know. It looks like he's getting wasted in the south of France, and he's stooping Jennifer Lopez. So I'm not that worried about Ben Affleck. I'm sure he'll soldier through. But if this doesn't go right, I'm just saying, he may want to go to rehab. Oh, no. There you go. Hey, man, meanwhile, more important stuff, like the Olympics. And we talked last week about, first, it was a European hand ball federation that wanted the Norwegian chicks to wear hot little skimpy outfits, and they said no. So they wore like bicycle shorts, and there was a fine. Well, Pink, the pop star, is offered to pay the fines handed to those women's beach handball. Again, this isn't handball like you and I played in high school. This is like the sport where you run and jump, and it's almost like soccer on a basketball court, and you throw the. It's a fun sport. But anyway, they were wearing these skimpy outfits. They didn't want to wear them. They said no way. So Pink says she's going to pay the fines for these young ladies.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, that's stepping up big, man. I think that's a nice gesture.
Yeah, you know, here's the problem, though. I mean, let's be honest. If we're men, like most of us are, well, not all of them, some of us, okay, I would like to see, like, beach volleyball and things like that with women in skimpy outfits. Have you noticed the TV people doing their best not to show exploitative photos?
No. Are they really? I've not really realized that.
Yeah, I mean, what do you in a swimming competition, a girl's wearing a bathing suit, you know, it's one piece. It's not like it's a... No, maybe they should swim in a bikini, a tube, just a thought. The reason I bring this up, according to, this is from the LA Times, according to the Olympic broadcast, Broadcasting Services Chief Yanos Exarchos, Carl, speaking with the media.
Yanos. Yes.
Yes. He said, "You will not see in our coverage some things that we have been seeing in the past with details and close-up on parts of the body." Well, I want to see close-ups on different parts of the body. International Olympic Committee does not govern the kinds of rules for individual sports. So it's basically the sanctioning bodies as far as what types of outfits they're wearing. What we can do to make sure our coverage does not highlight or feature in any particular way what people are wearing, Exarchos said. I mean, isn't that part of the fun of watching the, you know, the ladies compete? Although, let's, you know what? Let's flip the script, not be sexist. Like women watching the swimming competition. Those guys, are, you know, let's be honest. Those guys are, you know, look like Greek gods wearing those little skimpy, you know, nut huggers.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't we put those guys in boxer shorts or crying? Why do I have to look at that?
So who determines what these uniforms are?
The sanctioning bodies. The sanctioning body.
Okay.
The Federation of Swimming People, whatever it is. You know.
Okay, so they are the ones who make the final decision on what's going to be worn.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Because so, I mean.
At least I haven't been aware of it, but they say you're seeing less of the skimpy body parts, the low angle stuff.
I believe that. I guess I haven't been paying attention to it, but now I will.
Yeah. Apparently, Chris, don't tell me. I'm not going to repeat that. Say it on here.
What'd he say?
The star of this year's Olympics from an international perspective is the U.S. men's swimmer Caleb Dressel. He's a very attractive man.
Okay.
Again, Chris, that's from reports. Chris, that's not Chris's personal feeling, although there's nothing wrong with that. You roll with that. But no, I mean, I was watching the swimming this morning, and, you know, you see these guys. I'm like, I mean, look at that. I mean, you ever want to feel like you're never going to get in shape when you see those guys? What are those, like 2% body fat?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's like the guys that play soccer, you know?
Right. Keep your shirt on. Hey, man, let's hit the closing bell, see if we made any loot today on Wall Street. And we did. S&P 500 ekes out another record as investors apparently gearing up for big earnings reports, Carl, on Wall Street. Dow Jones up 82. S&P was up, as I mentioned, 10. And NASDAQ just about 3 and change. The closing bell on Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Alliance Tax Solutions. Let the pros get on the job and beat the IRS, or at least come up with something you can live with. So whether you're a small business owner or just John Q. Public, get it together with the IRS and get that thing off your back. Go to AllianceTaxSolutions.com. All right, the 10 most important birthdays. We just gave away Stones tickets. We got more Stones tickets this week, right?
We do, man.
Mick Jagger is 78 today. The Moves Like Jagger.
Yeah. Moves Like Jagger. One of the best entertainers.
Yeah, he puts on a show, man. Can you imagine? Think about how old your parents are or your grandparents. Imagine your grandfather out doing what Mick Jagger's going to be doing at Mercedes-Benz here in November. Exactly. He'd break his hip. Yeah. Roger Taylor, Queen drummer, is 72. Cool moment. He played with the Foo Fighters here at that venue they had at Atlantic Station during the Super Bowl here in Atlanta. That was fantastic. They did Under Pressure.
Under Pressure.
Very cool. Jason Statham is 54. You and I know it was Pollock. I worked with Pollock at the time. We interviewed Jason at the Super Bowl. One of the Transporter movies, Carl, was coming out.
All the Transporter movies are the same.
And I know. Who cares? But he's a good guy. At the time, I was shaving my head. And so I joked around with him. I go, Jason, great to have you on. I said, people say I look just like you. And Statham, Carl, doesn't even laugh. He goes, you know, it's right. It's like I'm looking right in a mirror. Good dude. He's 54. The beautiful Kate Beckinsale is 48. Nice English actress.
Yes, Kate Beckinsale's good
actress.
Yeah,
Sandra Bullock is 57 today.
What's she done lately? She's been chilling, huh?
Last time I saw her, she was falling out of space, right? Yeah, with George Clooney. That's right. Grammy. Helen Mirren, she was a knockout. Helen Mirren is a very sexy older lady, 76 today. Oh, boy, Kevin Spacey, tremendously talented, and now, boy, is he on everybody's blacklist. You're never going to see him in a movie again, are you?
No, I mean, is he coming back? I saw he did something, Mike, recently, but... Yeah. I don't know if he'll ever be as big as he once was.
Yeah, he did a Super Bowl commercial, but he's had some stuff off the movie screen. Weren't those charges dropped, though, or not proven? Something in Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard with some dude. Chris just said in my ear, Jeremy Piven, Ari from Entourage. Talking about not having to act. I think that is that guy. He's 56 today.
He's jumped into comedy. A buddy of mine said during the pandemic, he was traveling around the country and doing comedy shows and stuff. Okay. So I did not know that until he told me. Yeah, he said he was actually pretty funny.
He's self-effacing. Ari, you know, he'd have his like freakouts on Entourage and HBO was great. Dorothy Hamill, figure skater, a gold medalist. She's 65 today. Mm-hmm. All right, for movie guys, Stanley Kubrick, arguably one of the greatest American directors of all time, if not the. He was born today. He passed away in 99. Spielberg had to take over. What was it? Eyes Wide Shut, right? That was the one that was not finished. Carl Jung, the Jungian thing, Carl, the pioneer in psychology, the duality of life. You know, your alter, I guess your...
It's not alter ego, no.
No, but I think his stuff is more. Freud made everything about sex and your mom. It's weird. He had more about the your alter ego, I guess. Right? Is that what it was, Chris? Well, I don't remember the Jungian thing.
I think I was gonna say. Alter ego.
I've got to look it up. I think Jung. Your subconscious. That's it. I did pay attention for one class in college. Yeah, like your subconscious is maybe, you know, like Tony Soprano. And remember that on The Sopranos? Like your subconscious. Subconsciously, you're wrecking yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You're always
like I do every day on this radio program.
You're in your head. You're doing stuff. Yeah.
Hey, man, there's Guy Talk on a Monday on Dukes and Bell.
Irony Dies says, Dukes, tell me you're not complaining about playing on the second best track in Georgia right now and playing for free. First of all, mind your own business. Secondly... I'm not complaining. Mike and I are simply saying that we are tired. Today was work.
All right,
we walked the course, and we are simply saying we normally are in carts. We respect those people who walk. That's all we're saying.
That's what we're saying. But aren't you just glad we did? Well, if you don't like the show, two fat guys who very easily could have had a heart attack out there today. It's a freaking 100% humidity. I'm with you, Carl. I've got a newfound respect for guys that walk the course and those cats on the tour, man.
That's all we're saying. We would never, Irony Dies, complain about playing the second best track in Georgia or playing for free. Mind your own business.
Oh, by the way, and the buffet was amazing.
wasn't the only thing.
Barbecued the chicken and they had... Oh, Yes, and yes. The staff is beautiful.
Yes, that wasn't the only thing. All right, thank you guys again. Coming back, Falcon Report. This Aaron Rodgers stuff is out there now. More and more stuff is trickling out. We'll dive back into that. And Deshaun Watson, 10 criminal complaints are now pending against him. This just dropping literally in the last 30 minutes. It's Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.